Hello and welcome to a Lore Party minigame, a podcast about our favorite video games and the stories they tell. I'm Mike Ferris. On this show, I've talked about a lot of heavy topics like the pains of nostalgia, broken families, and dissatisfaction about growing older. This week's episode about Blackwood Crossing is similar in that it's the first game I've ever played that is primarily about grief. But before we get too far into the weeds, let's go back to the beginning and see how Blackwood Crossing and its unique style evokes the feeling of grief.
Finn, you'll upset the other passengers. There's no one else here. What happened to the train?
On the surface, Blackwood Crossing is similar to other games I've talked about here. It's a small-scale title full of whimsy, big emotions, and an affinity for the analog world. You play as Scarlett, a teenage girl who is with her hyperactive younger brother Finn on a train. Their destination is unknown to us, but we quickly start to see some weird visual inconsistencies and other strange oddities on the train. The train itself is mostly empty of people and is decorated with movie posters that feature Finn in the role of the protagonist in each of these fake movies. It's a jarring transition from Life is Strange style realism to more of a Wes Anderson style of magical whimsy. Though while whimsy itself is often used to incite comedy or warm feelings of nostalgia, Blackwood Crossing uses that language of whimsy to create more of a feeling of unease and a dreamlike state. Scarlett and Finn do eventually come across other people on the train, but they don't acknowledge your presence. Instead, these other people talk to each other in a kind of weird dreamlike riddles in phrases that don't make a lot of sense, but still evoke emotions like regret or confusion.
Where are we going?
And why do I feel like we've forgotten something?
You know, I've quite forgotten where it is we're going.
Sweetheart, you would forget your head if it wasn't bolted on.
Most notably, all of these figures, instead of looking like people, are covered in weird papier-mâché masks of varying animals. Scarlett starts to suspect that she recognizes these figures, but not from how they look or sound. It's just more of a gut instinct. She suspects that some of the figures are her parents, old school teachers, a kid who used to bully her brother, one of her exes, but can't quite figure out why they're there, and most importantly, why they don't acknowledge her presence. While you're trying to figure all this out, Finn is slowly getting weird magical powers that allow him to alter the world around him. Bits of the train become his old treehouse. About halfway through the game, he transports himself and you to a fantasy island where he can just be himself and play all day. These dueling styles of whimsy come together pretty early in the game in a scene that takes place in a manifestation of Scarlett and Finn's childhood treehouse. The two make a little bit of small talk about how Finn, for some reason, can't seem to remember what his parents look like. All the while, the two start making little papercraft butterflies, and Finn's powers grow and eventually give life to the butterflies. But eventually, this joy of bringing life to something otherwise lifeless comes crashing down, and Finn goes into a rage when his powers are not as strong as he wants them to be.
Oh no! They're all rubbish! I can't do them on my own!
It's not that bad, either. I can fix them, see?
Don't!
Oh.
They're no good! None of them are any good!
Finn! Get a hold of yourself! Hey! Finn, where did you get that?
It's all your fault!
Stop it! Please! in!
Blackwood Crossing is full of little moments like this. Scenes of joy and happiness being undercut by feelings of darkness or sadness. As the mystery unfolds, we learn that these figures that Finn and Scarlet come across have long since passed. Her parents, for some reason, have passed away. The old school teacher, her ex, they've all gone, leaving Scarlet all alone. It's not until the final scene in the game in which we finally get the answers we've been looking for to find out what the heck has been going on. And we finally get the answers as to why these two styles keep crashing into each other. The scene I mentioned that takes place in the treehouse with the fire. That's again a mix of fantasy and reality. The fantasy was the why. Why did that fire happen? It wasn't because Finn took some sort of villain rage and wanted to burn it down. In reality, it was just an accident. Finn, too, has passed on. What we've been playing this whole time was Scarlet's process of grieving. It's easy to be overly reductive and say this was all a dream, even though it kind of was all a dream. What we played through was not a dream, but a process of grieving, but also a process of learning. Learning that often these things are not your fault. Accidents happen. People die, and sometimes you just gotta let that go. And no matter what magical powers you want to manifest for yourself, you can't change it. Grieving is a process, and it's weird to be playing it in a video game. But at least with Blackwood Crossing, I'm glad I did. This Lore Party minigame is executive produced by Abu Zafar and produced by me, Michael Ferris. Check out our Twitter and Instagram at lore_party, and check out our Twitch page at twitch.tv/lore_party. We're going to be live streaming a lot during 2019, so check it out and hang out with us. And subscribe to Lore Party on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review there. It really helps us grow the show. Thank you very much for listening.